Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Salutations to all, and welcome to another edition of Forward Pass Thinking audio content. Today we have very special guest Mark Sessler from NFL.com, and later we talk to David Rossi. Okay, enjoy the show. Jonders here, and I am blessed to be joined by one of my favorite writers at NFL.com. You can find all of his stuff at NFL.com/Sessler. He is also one-fourth of the Around the NFL podcast. Quiet Storm himself, Mark Sessler, how the heck are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic for having you. Okay, so it seems like you kind of got the Vikings quarterback stuff. You wrote a nice piece about who they should look at in free agency, and then you wrote another one that they're not giving up on the season now that they have Bradford. How do you see this Bradford acquisition impacting their playoff hopes?
Well, I think the one issue out of the gate with the time frame that you're signing he is a veteran quarterback. He's been around the league. He's not a complete rube, you know, coming out of a college program. But he's, you know, you're talking about someone that's got to learn his fourth or fifth offense as an NFL quarterback. And it seems like every single season Bradford is having to start over. So the biggest question for me is, you know, Norv Turner's offense is not simple necessarily. How quickly can Bradford get up to speed? And then once he does, you know, I think they were so impressed with Teddy Bridgewater, and the biggest letdown for them had to do with the kind of leader and the person he had been, and just the growth that they had seen, stuff that we wouldn't because it was behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So if they can get Bradford to play essentially in a way that Bridgewater did, and I don't think that's a big ask. It's not like you're trying to fill Cam Newton's shoes or, you know, an early season Peyton Manning. This is Bridgewater, who threw 14 touchdowns and 9 picks last season. So this is an excellent defensive team with one of the best running backs still in football. If they can get Bradford to, you know, I guess manage the game, for lack of better words, I think that they're actually back into a position where we can view them as a playoff-type team. I mean, Sean Hill has been a pretty good backup when they needed him to come in. He really hasn't played much since around 2010 or so, when he actually did a string of starts for the Lions. Mm-hmm. But he was just old, and his arm strength was really an issue. So I think Bradford does say, you know, Mike Zimmer's not just mailing this year in. I never expected him to. They paid an exorbitant cost for Bradford. That would be concerning. But the second part of it is, with Bridgewater's injury being as serious as it appears to be, Bradford gives you some insurance going into next year if you found out that Bridgewater just was never going to be that kind of player again, which is remote, but it is a possibility with that kind of an injury.
Yeah, and maybe I'm telling tales out of school here, but it seems like Zimmer and the Vikings brass were more impressed with Bridgewater off the field, so maybe this isn't as big of a downgrade on the field like you were alluding to. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah, I guess it's not one of these teams that feels comprehensively built around the quarterback. You know, there's no more important position, and we get that. And going to, you know, Sean Hill, and that if he, you know, he's late 30s, and then they have someone behind him with no experience, then it becomes a real issue. I think that the switch from Bridgewater to Bradford, once Bradford's kind of up to speed in there, I don't think it's a drastic fall off. It's something that feels manageable because of the way that team is built. And it was Zimmer himself who, I think, went out. He said, listen, even when the day that it happened to Teddy, we are not going to give up. This is not a one-person team. And they truly aren't built that way. That wasn't just lip service.
One of the most chilling things I think I've ever heard from a press conference was Zimmer that day, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something along the lines of, you know, the day that my wife died, that was an awful day too, but the sun still rose the next day. And it was just kind of like a, whoa, like, I don't know. I'll go into battle with Zimmer or whatever he wants. I mean, that guy, what an incredible leader of men.
Yeah. He, that certainly caught people's attention in our newsroom too. And I think really it just speaks to the fact that Zimmer, like, you know, when something happens bad to a team and you're a fan and it kind of signals the end of a season, and that happens when quarterbacks go down, you know, as a fan, you can detach. And I think that as the coach, Zimmer has to be the first person to send out the powerful signal slash message that says, no, no matter what happens, we're going to fight until the season is officially over. And it was such an important moment for him to kind of show as a coach, like, this is the tone of the year. If he's super down about it and he looks done himself, players are going to feed off that. The players really read what their coaches are saying and doing, and you know, the energy comes from that in a big way. So I think that Zimmer, the guy that we know, would never give up. I really like Zimmer. I think he's a top five coach in the making, if he's not already close to being there. And I really think the season for him specifically gives him a chance to show how good of a coach he is, because, you know, they always say that if you're a team that lost your quarterback early, you can make those excuses to some degree, but he's not doing that. He's not going to do that.
So turning the page over to Sam Bradford's old team, I was surprised when I found out that Chase Daniel wouldn't be the starter. And I know your cohorts over at NFL or around the NFL really like Chase Daniels. Were you surprised that Chase Daniel wasn't named the starter?
The only thing that I found a little surprising, again, it's a timeline thing, just that the plan with Wentz was to keep him essentially in bubble wrap all year. But after a healthy dose of preseason footage and tape and a chance to get him into games, instead we really haven't seen him since that Bucks game. We haven't seen him at all. He hasn't practiced, and so it's a lot to ask of a rookie quarterback, and I could see why Chase Daniel would be upset. He also came back around and said that while he's upset, he'll do whatever he can to help Wentz, which is essentially, you know, okay, you've made an inflammatory comment, you better come back around with another take on that, and he did. But I totally think that coaches want their quarterbacks to be, you know, PO'd when they find this stuff out. Like Chase Daniel all along, you know, thought if anything happens to Bradford, it's me, and then right away. But when you look at the pedigree, the first round pick and what they gave up for Carson Wentz, and maybe a little bit the chance to go into Cleveland and beat a really undersold, a really, I guess, low talent Browns team with a lot of questions on defense, it would get things off to a very nice start for the Eagles. Flip side, if they ever lost to the Browns, Philly is going to implode from the inside out. So
you bring up Cleveland. I have a question involving Cleveland. This preseason, we've seen a lot of Terrell Pryor highlights of him just running go routes. Should I believe my eyes when I see this, or do you think he'll come back to earth in the regular season?
Well, I mean, what I would believe is the players around him. I think many who are very skeptical about the whole Terrell Pryor experience last summer, they talked about how hard he worked, that he certainly has grown as a receiver. I mean, there's nothing to question about his athletic gifts. What I really question is that as the games go on and then Cleveland encounters the problems they do, and they probably are going to be behind by a lot of points, you know, the idea of just throwing Terrell Pryor down for deep routes here and there becomes more of a luxury and not of a real foundational piece of their offense. Like, I think that Terrell Pryor does look much better than he did during parts of last year, but there's a lot of, you know, if Josh Gordon comes back and you've got Gary Barnage and you've got Corey Coleman and the other rookies, he's going to have to continue to prove week after week that he's the best option they have and that he can make all the catches that you need him to make. But, you know, for someone that in the preseason people just really didn't think much about as more than a gimmick player, I think that he had an excellent preseason, and he's got a chance. He's going to have a chance in that offense to continue off that.
So you're saying trust your eyes, but with hesitance.
I trust his athletic gifts. I just don't see. But the whole offense in Cleveland really concerns me, because I think what they wanted to be was a run first team in the Hugh Jackson mold, and instead they're going to have to probably pass the ball a ton. So Pryor will have his chance to make catches. He's listed as a starting wide receiver, and if that's the case still 8 weeks from now, it means that he's making plays. But I don't think he's a fluke athlete or anything. He's an incredible athlete. It's so hard to make the switch from quarterback to any other position in college, much less some of these players that just go from wide receiver to tight end or back and forth. It is so it's so much harder than people realize to do that, that what he's done up to now, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, so I have a would you rather for you. All right, so
sure.
You're a noted Cleveland Browns fan, correct?
Sadly, yes.
Okay, so option one, very simple. The Cleveland Browns win the Super Bowl this year. That's option one.
Okay.
Option two, you're abducted by aliens, and you're brought back to their home planet, where you are anointed their king. So you're now their king. You're brought lavish dinners and the greatest art your eye has ever seen. Music beyond your wildest belief, but you will never watch another football game ever again. Which one do you choose?
Well, I have to ask a question about the second part, because,
okay,
you know, I've got a wife and two kids. Am I yanked from the earth forever, or can I come back and simply not watch football?
This is what I think, all right? So the aliens have the capacity to duplicate your wife and kids. You would never know it's not your wife and kids, but it would not be your wife and kids.
It is, and you've come up with an amazing scenario. It's very intriguing. It feels a tad sinister for me to sign on to that, because there's just a lot of questions. So while it's intriguing, I think I will go with the Browns winning the Super Bowl, because I don't hear a what if with that on the other side where, you know, once they do, the whole earth rips open and everything's lost. So I'll go Browns Super Bowl. I'd be kind of weird not to, I think.
All right. Do you want to go with me through some season-ending awards, like MVP and head coach and stuff, or head coach of the year?
Sure, yeah.
So
let's do it.
Who's your MVP?
You know, for me, I kind of find it, I think with J.J. Watt, you know, he's the one defensive guy that you can point to for that. I typically always lean quarterback, and wow, for me, how about Russell Wilson?
That's mine.
Just throwing it out there.
That's mine too, and I think mine is because I've been a huge Russell Wilson supporter since he's been drafted, and you know, I'm a very meek person, you know, I'm not very large, and when I would talk to bros about this, they'd always say, well, just Marshawn Lynch in the defense. I think now Marshawn
right.
Lynch is out of the picture, and people can finally start appreciating how great Russell Wilson is.
Yeah, I think it would require them to be the team they were from that
yeah,
Super
halfway
Bowl season.
Through the season.
Exactly, like kind of what we saw from Newton last year, and if their offense is, you know, starting to favor the pass as it did in the past last season, then he's gonna have the numbers to do that. You know, I always would have gone with the old Tom Brady's and those guys, but there's a lot of changing of the guard at quarterback right now.
Okay, so how about your offensive player of the year?
This is incredibly boring, but I'll go Aaron Rodgers, because I think that it's kind of like if you don't get best picture, they just give you best director.
Oh, okay.
And that's sort of how I see, you know, the top two quarterbacks in the league.
I don't know how interesting mine is. I want Odell with the McAdoo offense. Was that their third year, or is it second year now?
Third year. I mean, that's, you know, all these things are guesses, and there's a lot of logic behind that. I mean, he could easily have, like, you know, erupt for a massive season in that offense.
Okay, how about your defensive player of the year?
Well, for me, it typically just has to be Watt, unless something really bad happens to Watt. I'm not obviously in love with his off season, but it sounds like he's going to be ready for week one. He says he's 100%. Who knows what that really means? But assuming that Watt is Watt, and I think he's only going to be helped by the fact that Jadeveon Clowney looks insane on that defense as well. So I'm gonna play it safe here and go Watt, because I need to see someone. It's not easy to be a cornerback, for instance, and win that award unless you're just an absolute turnover machine. So for me, Watt's going to be the guy that every single week, that's a highlight type award too,
yeah,
where they want to see sacks, they want to see craziness, and Watt has not failed to deliver. So that's my pick.
To not choose J.J. Watt, I took Khalil Mack, and I think he can
love it.
Yeah, he can get a fast start going to New Orleans this weekend, and I don't know, I just didn't want to take Watt, so that's amazing.
No, I think that's good. That's a good pick.
Okay, how about offensive rookie of the year?
Well, you know, I'm just going to go Ezekiel Elliott, because I think when you look at rookies, it's not always where they're going to be two or three years from now. It's the system they're in. I talk about a team that's going to want to run the ball a ton. There are other good running backs. I don't think they want to maybe use him the way that DeMarco Murray was in 2014, but Elliott, he looked great in the preseason at a position where it's easier to kind of judge where they are that early in their career. And the Cowboys have issues on defense, but they are going to score points, and they are not going to allow defenses to simply put, you know, eight men in the box because there's too much happening through the air. Prescott can hold up his side of the bargain. So I think Ezekiel Elliott makes some sense.
I have Zeke too, mainly because I watched him run over Cam Chancellor in the preseason. I think that's the only reason.
There you go. He's ready. I mean, there's nothing about him that seems scary at all. So,
how about assistant head coach of the year?
Assistant head coach of the year.
Yes.
You know, I would love to see someone like Josh McDaniels get that. And I realize that he created a lot of bad feelings as a head coach, and that can sometimes preclude you from winning it. But I still assume that the Patriots are going to get to the AFC Championship, if not more. Mm-hmm. I think that what he's had to do this offseason, prepare Jimmy Garoppolo behind Brady while Brady's still in the building and having to deal with all that. And just basically it's an offense that doesn't get credit for basically evolving and changing with every 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And he's done that. He's been Belichick's right-hand man. And I think just because it's New England, people quickly overlook that team for awards because they want to give it to, you know, the nicer story or a team that came up from like a 4-win season. For me, Josh McDaniels has proven to be the best play caller in football most of these past few seasons, so I'll go with him.
And I wrote that question down wrong. Isn't it like coordinator or something of the year?
It's typically a coordinator. I mean, I believe it actually has coordinator in the title.
Okay, so how about this? The Vikings go 12-4, and they win the NFC North, and Norv Turner wins the coordinator of the year.
I like that. I mean, I think that the only reason I wouldn't have gone Vikings because I think they kind of in a fake way like to spread this stuff around, and I would go Zimmer for my coach of the year because I also think that they are going to get into the playoffs and even win a playoff game and do just what people thought they were before. And that's a very narrative-driven award. They want a nice story attached to a successful season, and that would fit very well for Zimmer.
So I don't even need to ask you my next question. And also, I'm in lockstep with you. We both have Mike Zimmer as our head coach of the year. Can I get you to predict the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I was going to make them my NFC Super Bowl team before the Teddy thing. Mm-hmm. And I really have never been a big fan of Sam Bradford in terms of, like, I cannot come up with two or three really inspiring moments from him.
Yeah.
But I like the team around him. I would not pick them for my Super Bowl. Do you want a full Super Bowl pick at this point, or do you want just, like, that my NFC team, because they're not my NFC team.
Well, I'll give you mine. Mine with the final score is that the Seahawks conquer their demons and the Seahawks win 24-20 over the Patriots.
Very interesting. I also believe Seattle is going to – Green Bay will be an excellent team as well. Mm-hmm. Arizona will be in the mix. I'm going to go Seattle as well. In the AFC – I am going to go, and I make this mistake every season, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I don't think Pittsburgh is bar none the best team in the AFC, but I just really believe that Ben Roethlisberger can win no matter who's on the field with him. And it's just, again, I make this pick every year, and I continue to be wrong, so why not do it again?
You know, eventually you're going to be right, I think.
Maybe. We'll see.
I don't know. Maybe you won't. Okay, so... I need to thank you, and I've tweeted at you, and you've retweeted me over this, but you've introduced me to my new favorite rapper on the Around the NFL podcast. You introduced me to Little Debbie. My life has changed.
Oh, yeah.
She's my queen, you know. I'm all about it. When I started doing this podcast, I had a dream list of guests. You were one of the guests that I dreamed about being on, and I'm blessed enough to have you actually on. And Little Debbie, because I really want to know how to make, what is it, two cups, and it's the lean. I want to get her on here and ask her how to make lean. I think that'd be funny.
I think she's the master of that. It might be as simple as just tweeting at her and seeing if she'll do it.
Maybe I'll have to do that.
I have no control into her management, but you know she seems open to talking football podcasts. We were stunned that she came on our show. To be honest, it happened very quickly, and then it was suddenly over, and we were like, that was great, and that was also one of the weirdest podcast episodes we've ever put together. So maybe you can have the same happen to you.
Hopefully. Dan walking her through how she should change her name from Little Debbie to Debbie to Deborah to Big Deborah. Top five moment in Around the NFL
Perfect.
History.
I know. It was ideal.
Just amazing. So thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you check back in on us. Maybe we'll have to do it again at the end of the season to see how wrong both of us are.
Let's do it again, like midway through or whenever you feel like it, for sure.
All right, awesome. Okay. All right. Bye, Mark. Okay, so the next portion you're going to hear, we recorded before the Mark Sessler interview was recorded. You'll hear me talk about how we were looking to have Mark on the pod, but then a scheduling conflict came up. But it was obviously resolved, so you're going to hear the theme again. Just bear with us. Hello and salutations to all. This is the third ever episode of Forward Pass Thinking Audio Content. Today we have David Rossi. Say hello, David.
Hello.
And I'm your host, John Durst. So me and David have a history of going back and forth with each other in text message. David used to be in a league. What was the league? It was like a pick'em thing?
Yeah. What is it? The confidence pool, 16-1?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever the nonsense that was. And he would text me because he knew I have no life and this is all I think about. And we had some good text messages and we thought, let's birth this. If you could see the motions I'm doing with my hand right now, podcast listener, you would know how gross I'm being. Let's birth this into a podcast. So this is it. This is going to be like a game. The rules are very simple. You get 1 point for every game you get correct, and then 0 points if we both get it right. We're going to be picking against the spread, so this isn't just picking games because any idiot can do that. We're professionals. And to make things interesting, I think we're going to be doing this for a steak dinner. Is that right, David?
I think that's what the bet was.
Yeah.
I don't think like the steak was determined or what kind of steak dinner, but steak dinner.
Okay. So steak dinner. Let's get this thing off, or let's start off with the Super Bowl rematch. We have Carolina -3 at Denver.
Yeah, and I think that Carolina is just going to blow this game out. Without a quarterback for the Broncos, it doesn't even seem like a game.
So you're disrespecting Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't even know who he is really.
I think this is gonna be the one games if we do bet, this is gonna be it. So what you said, you had it at -110?
I have the money line at -110. If you're taking the Panthers, and they are giving 3 points to the Broncos.
So we're going to circle back to this at the end of the pod. I think me and David might figure out what our bet's going to be on that game. Okay, so the next game, we both have Carolina on that one. The next game is Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta is favored by 3 points. David?
Yeah, I gotta go Tampa Bay here. I mean, I really liked what they did last year.
Tampa Bay +3. I love it. +3 is a great number for him because, Jameis Winston likes two things, eating crab legs and winning football games. So I think this might be an interesting game to bet too. +3 with Tampa Bay. We both are in lockstep there, though. The Teddy Bridgewater-less Vikings at the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans are +2. So we have the Vikings are favored by 2 points with Sam Bradford. Yeah.
I'm just happy they completely got, like, Mark Sanchez wasn't even the picture. Like, I didn't want that to be anything, it didn't make any sense to me. So I'm on Sam Bradford's team here. Let's go Vikes.
I'm going to take that too, but I'm definitely not going to bet on them. So we both agree that the Vikings -2 is the right answer there, but we're not confident enough to bet on it.
Absolutely.
Okay. The next game we have is the Cleveland Browns with RG3 versus the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz, not Chase Daniel. How Chase Daniel, I don't know what his mental standpoint has to be. I really want to ask Mark Sessler about this. And if you're turning in, because I told you that Mark Sessler was going to be on the pod, he was feeling a little under the weather, and we're going to try to get him back later this week. So have no fear. We're still working that out. Cleveland's interesting, but I don't know if Terrell Pryor is the real deal at wide receiver because he was just running go routes in the preseason. And Philadelphia's defense with Jim Schwartz seems to be more legitimate, but that's just over preseason. So I don't know how to gauge that. So what I'm saying is I will take the points and I will take Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a garbage fire in Philadelphia. I mean, I have no idea what's going on over there, and they could win by three touchdowns. I honestly have no clue, but if we're going to bet here, I mean, I'm taking the points. Josh Gordon is playing, correct?
No, he's suspended for the first four games.
He's out 4-2?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I still got to go Cleveland here. See what RG3's got coming back.
We are in lockstep so far. No worries about stakes so far, but we have the Red Rifle and the rest of the Bengals going against the Jets. The Jets are favored by 2.5, and they're the home team.
J-E-T-S, Jets for me.
I'll take the points, I think.
You know, I thought about that too, but the Jets at home last year were a force to be reckoned with.
How many times did they play a team like the Bengals, though?
That's true. I have no idea. What's the AFC matchup here? It's the NFC East versus the AFC East this year?
The West is playing the NFC West is playing the AFC East.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That sounds right. Okay.
So I'm going to take the Bengals, and then you'll take Brandon Marshall and all those old Chicago. This is a Chicago Bears fan pick.
Yes, it is.
You're like Forte. I like him. Okay. So we finally disagree in 2016. I'm taking the Bengals at +2.5. You have the Jets at -2.5. Now we have basically a pick 'em. We have Oakland at New Orleans, and New Orleans is favored by 1 point. So Drew Brees' Walker will be out there. I don't know. I don't know what to do about this. I think I will go with Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin and say that Drew Brees won't have time to sit in the pocket. And when Drew Brees doesn't have time, he throws picks. So I think I'm going to go +1, Oakland.
Yeah, he made that pretty evident last year when the offensive line couldn't protect him at all. So I'm taking Oakland because they have shown that, you know, they're a football team that
they're a football team.
No, they were good last year, and they're going to be even better this year.
This next game is like a gut check to Chargers fans. We have the Chargers at KC, and KC's favored by 7 points, which is a pretty large margin.
Yeah, I think, is that the biggest line of the week? Or
that is not. We will get to that later.
Okay.
It won't surprise you when we get there, though.
Man, Kansas City's going to blow them out. Chargers are just awful.
They are awful. Bosa wasn't there all preseason, so you're not rolling with your number one pick. Jamal Charles isn't playing, but you would have to say that Spencer Ware can easily tear up that awful Chargers defense. I don't know. 7's a lot of points, though.
I don't want to bet this game. Definitely, this is a stay away game.
Do not bet on this game.
Kansas City's going to win. Will they win by 10? Maybe, probably. But
for this pool or for this contest, I'm taking the Chiefs.
I also am, but I am not going to bet on this game.
Don't bet on Andy Reid's teams.
No.
Don't do it. No. It'll drive you mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we have the Buffalo Bills versus going to Baltimore to play the Ravens. The Ravens are -3, huh? I didn't think about it. When I wrote that down, it didn't seem as strange to me as it does right now.
Yeah, now that you said it to me, I...
We might have to parlay a little Buffalo-Carolina action.
Yeah, I really like Buffalo in this matchup. I think Shady has a big season.
This is a very strange line. This is a very weak one line.
I would love to see, definitely make your Panthers bet, but also make a parlay with this game on top of it.
Okay, so we like Buffalo. We'll go over that again at the end of the podcast. This is another gut check game for a very large fan base. Is that? I don't know. I'm going to edit this all out later. The Chicago Bears are traveling to Houston to play the Texans. David, you're a lifelong Bears fan. Do you want to guess the line?
They're getting 6?
The Bears are getting 6.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, I honestly thought it'd probably be 7, but the Bears are bad this year. The Bears are really bad this year.
I'm starting, I'm in four or five fantasy leagues, I forget. I'm starting Will Fuller, the Texans rookie wideout from Notre Dame, in all the leagues.
Every single one of them?
Yeah, because I have no faith in the Bears.
I can't argue with that move at all. I mean, this is the second year in their rebuilding.
I think this is Bill O'Brien's second year, yeah.
You know, though, as a Bears fan, I'm going to pull a Ditka here. I'm taking the points. Yeah.
Taking the points. Okay, so we differ on that one also. Okay, the next game is Green Bay traveling down to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. The Green Bay Packers are favored by 5.
Only 5?
Only 5.
And Blake Bortles.
And Allen Hurns.
Yeah. You know, I got to take Aaron Rodgers. And
you can have Aaron Rodgers all you want. I will take Blake Bortles. And here's the largest number. What do we call it? Spread.
Spread?
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah. Here's the largest spread. Miami traveling to Seattle. Seattle is favored by 10.5.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Which Vegas is saying, please do not bet on the Dolphins. Or they're trying to get you to bet on the Dolphins. They're trying everything they can do. But we all know that Russ Wilson ended the year with like 500 touchdown passes in the second half of the
that
season.
That was incredible.
Doug
I forgot
Baldwin
about that.
Baldwin had, you know, 18 of those. And we all know how handsome he is. We all know that Christian Michael is going to be the starter there, even though you all think it's going to be Thomas Rolls. We know that Sherman and Thomas started off the year last year coming off of shoulder surgeries, if I can talk. And Cam Chancellor wasn't there at the beginning of the year. This is the Super Bowl. It's 2016 Super Bowl champs, and they're gonna serve notice to the league by putting up 50 on the Dolphins. What's Ryan Tannehill gonna do? What's the over under in that game?
God, I have.
Let's
no
go
idea.
Back to that.
But yeah. I do want to say something here.
Go for it.
I agree wholeheartedly. Seattle is my pick for the Super Bowl this year. I mean, I would love to see what the line is right now, because I got no problem throwing $100 right on that.
You know what I think the bet is? I think it's 6-1 that Russell Wilson wins the MVP.
This year?
Yeah. I think that's the bet.
Got it. If they get to the Super Bowl, I mean, I think that is also
like, it's
a lock.
Like, Marshawn Lynch is no longer there, which was every, like, bros, like, I know more about sports than you nerd. Like, it's all Marshawn Lynch. It's like, I don't think so. He doesn't even audible. No, look, he's audibling. I'll show you the game film on my NFL Game Pass app, you know? I'm a very weak person. I get in a lot of arguments with bros. Okay, so who do you have in this game?
Man,
I'm taking the Seahawks all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, the Seahawks, man.
Okay, David is with me on the Seahawks bandwagon. We have one of my favorite games to watch, the Giants at the Cowboys, and Vegas doesn't know. It's a pick'em.
It's a coin flip?
It's a coin flip.
This game is a coin flip.
This game is a coin flip. And you know why it's a coin flip, David?
I need to know.
Because people like me who love Dak Prescott and know he's the second coming, they're willing to throw money on it.
Ah, God, I stay away from this game, too. But
yeah, don't bet on this game. No. Also, don't bet on games. Don't bet for or against Eli Manning.
Ever.
Yeah.
We learned that the hard way last year.
Throwing money at those games.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Like, in some of them, we were like, oh, a certain lock.
Yeah. We would text each other, like, 6 times back and forth, like, Eli Manning, more confidence, and, you know, he's played. Oh, man. We got burned so many times.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
they not cover against the 49ers once last year?
Yep. And remember, it was at the end of the game. They fumbled.
I got
through an
screwed
interception.
In
yeah.
so many backdoor covers
and then,
last year.
Well, yeah, we tried to cover on that game.
Was that – and then we bet on the – was that the same week as the Patriots-Colts game where, like, the Colts scored a late touchdown with,
yes.
like, a minute left? And
yeah, my friends parlayed that game. They had a $200 parlay. That was their third game to hit, and they would have won, I think, close to $800, $900 on it. And that Colts game, they still think about it, man.
Okay, so who do you have this week? You have Odell, you have Dez Bryant.
Oh, I'm taking Eli all the way. He showed me.
I'm with Dak.
No.
No, yeah? I'm with Dak.
No, I got to see him.
I've been watching him. Got the preseason, got the Game Pass going. Okay, Detroit. We should. Can you look up on your phone while I'm talking here?
Yeah.
We Detroit, Indy. Detroit has the or Indy is favored by 3.5 points. It should be a high scoring game, which is what I want David to find out. I want to know what the over under on points is in that game, because if it's less than 30, we're gonna bet the over.
You know,
or if it's less than like 45, we're gonna bet the over.
I think the whole over under thing, like God doesn't want you to bet on the under. Ever.
Well, I think betting's a sin, right?
Well, it's illegal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the government deals with moral issues correctly. Okay.
We're going to come back to that when I get it up here.
Let's go back to that one. Then we have New England at Arizona. Arizona is favored by 6 points. And I made a special note here that the money line for New England is plus 220. I think not only do you bet New England in this game, you bet the money line. This is a straight-up I trust in Bill Belichick bet. Yeah. Also, this is a I watched you in the NFC Championship game last year, Carson Palmer, and I know you're falling apart at the seams. I never will trust you ever again. You're dead. You're a dead person. You know? It's all over for you.
His knees are dead, people.
I mean, I watched him in the NFC Championship, and I'm sure Belichick watched that game, right?
Oh, absolutely. Not only did he watch that game, he had people there watching that game for him.
So, not only do you bet New England plus 6, I think you take the money line. I think you go 220.
You know, all I have to say is week 5 rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Patriots
and
are
the second
rolling
coming,
to Cleveland.
The second coming of Christ comes back. My entire paycheck, Max Betts, all over Tom Brady. I mean,
I wonder what the line will be like for that Cleveland game.
Oh, God. Where are they playing?
It's in Cleveland.
It won't be any more
than
10.
It'll be the Josh Gordon, Tom Brady office suspension fest.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we'll have to see what RG3 is doing by that point.
Okay. Yeah. So who do you have? Do you have New England in that game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we have the first game of the Monday night.
You know, am I locked in?
No, I can cross you off.
Yeah. I'm taking Arizona, only because this year if Bruce Arians doesn't get to the Super Bowl, I think it's a letdown for him.
I thought you were gonna say fired.
No. Yeah, he wants that ring, man.
Yeah, but too bad he's in the same division as Seattle. It's hard out there, man. Okay, so then, so you have Arizona. The first game of the Monday night doubleheader is the Steelers versus the Washington racial slurs.
Can you even say that?
I don't know.
What should we say?
As white people?
You know, my friend has this shirt. You know, Jeremy from high school?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He's got a shirt and it's the racial slur logo, right?
Mm-hmm.
But over the top of it, it says Caucasians. So is that racist?
That's very racist. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was more racist.
We're veering off in a
the other way around. I thought it was more racist the other way around. I thought his shirt was less racist, but. You know, I digress.
I don't think we're supposed to be having this conversation.
Sure. Let's go on with football.
Okay. My favorite thing is that Phil Simms refuses to say that team's name, but he says it like 18 times a broadcast. Well, you know, Jim. God bless that man. I can't wait till he's back in my life. That idiot. That glue-eating idiot's back in my life.
I was doing fine without him.
If you don't follow Phil Simms quotes on Twitter, do it. It's the best Twitter. It just things he said, because a lot of times you'll be watching the game, you'll be seeing things, and like you know you're not even listening to him. But then you go on Twitter and you read the dumb things he's actually said. Well, no, it's not. You don't need a foot down, or no, he'll say something like, "It's a body part, not a foot." Foot's a body part, Phil.
I think people have begun blocking out the stupid things that he said to like make it acceptable for him to be on TV as long as he has been.
I'm upset that CBS fired Mike Harry, because my favorite thing last year was that Mike Harry never got any of the rules right. And I was like, you were an official for 25 years in the NFL. And you have no idea what any of the rules mean.
I don't think any of them know what any of the rules mean anymore. But
in my ebook, I was writing about like the different things in the league. And when I got to PPR league, I was like, yeah, so that means you get 1 point for every reception. Now, what's a reception or what's a catch in the NFL? I don't know. Seriously, I'm asking. What's a catch in the NFL? I don't know.
Yeah, we're never going to know.
I digress. So I have the Steelers -3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's it.
Pro football's back in LA in a week.
I hate that this is the Monday night game. I hate it.
Remember the last late Monday night game when we had all that money on the Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
And the 49ers stomped the Vikings?
It was unbelievable.
The Vikings went on to be the best team against the spread for the rest of the season, but we never bet on them again because of that first week.
I think we were very sour.
Oh, we were so sour.
Because we were up a lot of money from that day.
And we were like, look, we double it.
Yep. Yep, and we lost it all. They took it away from us.
That was like the one game that I don't even remember that guy's name. The Super Mario Brothers looking guy.
Which Super name? Mario though? Luigi or
no Mario?
Mario.
The head coach of the 49ers last year.
What was his name? I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to give a good guess.
So, Case Keenum or Blaine Gabbert. That's what we have on the last Monday night game of week one.
I think if Colin Kaepernick stands for the national anthem, the 49ers just run right over the Los Angeles Rams.
I sometimes watch football games with my mother, and her favorite thing while watching the football games is before it starts to see who's singing along with the national anthem. And then she'll tell me, based on who's singing, who will win the game.
Have you ever been able to throw some last-minute bets on her,
on her lunacy?
Yeah.
I've never done it. Maybe I'll start doing it. I think she's a pretty good... she might do better than I. Hey, and if you want to watch my cat predict football games, you can go to our YouTube channel by searching Ford Pass Thinking on YouTube, and you can watch my cat, Peter, pick some games.
What's Peter's record like?
Well, she only picked one game before this, and she's 0-1. But she picked the Panthers, and I think that was like a cat thing. So,
well, did you have the logo available for her to see?
Yeah.
Yeah, she totally picked the Panthers.
Yeah, she was like, she hates the Seahawks. She hates all the bird teams.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. So, you know, cats got to stick together. I'll put a link in the description or something. Okay, so we still haven't picked this last game.
Yeah, give me the Rams.
You're taking the Rams.
The Los Angeles Rams.
I'll take the points. When in doubt, take the points. I'm taking the points.
Yeah. I don't mind that either.
Okay. No.
Wait, what's... Do the Rams keep Jeff Fisher if he has a losing season this year?
Well, he's definitely going to have a losing season this year. And I think they definitely keep him. I think Jeff Fisher knows that he's going to have a losing season. And that's why Jared Goff is the third string quarterback.
That makes sense.
You roll him out in, like, week 8.
Mm-hmm.
You win a couple games late in the season, and it's like, hey, guys, you know, Stan Kroenke, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we were injured. He's going to play the injured card. Big time.
Big time. Okay.